Council.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I know for some of my friends in North Carolina, we got absolutely hammered by the snow. I'm here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm sitting here in the confines of our lovely sunroom. And if you want to see all the snow that's out behind us, then you can catch us on Facebook Live right now. Just go to Facebook, which there's a good chance you're looking at right now. And in that search box, just put the Steve Noble Show, N-O-B-L-E, and you will be right here in my sunroom, live from the snow-covered confines of Raleigh, North Carolina. And it's beautiful out there, but kind of messy and kind of nutty. So I was able to get up to the studio earlier today and grab all my gear and then brought it back down here. So broadcasting from home today with a bunch of different stories I want to take you through and things going on in the news today. Some of them are infuriating, some disappointing, and some are downright fun and excellent and uplifting. So I've got a lot here I want to go through with you. So we'll just kind of do that. And by the way, in the month of December, I like to purposefully lighten it up a little bit. My fury at the news of the day, I try to tap that down. And listen, we have other things to live for besides politics and even the state of our culture, which should break our hearts. And some of these stories today I'm going to share. And what just came out of the Supreme Court, which was a massive disappointment, number one, for Brett Kavanaugh. I'll talk about that. But there's some good things going on. But anyway, we have all year to obsess over politics and things that matter. I'm never going to say to you that politics doesn't matter. It is important because it impacts people. It impacts people all over this country. It impacts your neighbors, which is why I think biblically it's not defensible to take a sideline approach to politics. If you're a Christian, at the very least, you need to be praying for those in authority over us, according to Scripture, of course, 1 Timothy chapter 2, praying for those in authority over us. Get this, so that we can live quiet and peaceable lives. I know that's a shocking idea, but that's the very minimum, is to be praying for those in authority over us, and then to be voting consistently every 2 years, and then to be informed so that you can speak a biblical truth into the issues of the day. But it is not the biggest thing in the world, because politics, as important as it is not eternal. And so especially this month in December, I'm going to try to take a little bit of the focus off of that as we move towards Christmas and try to enjoy this month together without getting all bogged down in the political news of the day. But there is news out there that we need to pay attention to as well-informed citizens of the kingdom first, living in this particular country. Now I refer to myself, and I would encourage you to as well. I am a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian who, by God's providence, happens to be born and living in the United States of America. I'm not an American Christian. I'm a Christian who happens to live here by God's providence. I love America. I care about America. I love Jesus. God cares about America, certainly, but he cares about individual Americans more, because they're eternal and America is not. Okay, enough of that rant. Set that aside. All right, this is a big deal. This is kind of a disappointment, but it's early, so I'm going to choose to be patient here on this one. SCOTUS gave Planned Parenthood a victory today. SCOTUS is Supreme Court of the United States, thanks to Justices Roberts and Kavanaugh. So this is from the Daily Wire by Paul Boies, and I've got some other quotes from another article from the Daily Caller. Planned Parenthood got another victory at the Supreme Court today thanks to the fecklessness of Justice Roberts and Kavanaugh, who both declined to hear a case on whether states can defund abortion businesses under the Medicaid Act. According to CNN, now stay with me, don't lose your minds, the Roberts-led court left in place two lower court opinions that said that states violate federal law when they terminate Medicaid contracts with Planned Parenthood affiliates who offer preventative care for low-income women. It requires four justices to hear a case before the court. Only three agreed that it should be contested: Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, and Neil Gorsuch. Thank you, Lord, for Neil Gorsuch. But Kavanaugh and Roberts sided with the court's liberals. In a fierce dissent, Justice Thomas argued that the Supreme Court declined to do its job by rejecting the case. Quote, "What explains the court's refusal to do its job here?" Thomas wrote. "I suspect it has something to do with the fact that some respondents in these cases are named Planned Parenthood. Well done, Justice Thomas. Thomas further argued that the case in question had nothing to do with abortion rights and everything to do with private rights under the Medicaid Act. Quote, and this is from his written dissent, but these cases are not about abortion rights, he said. They are about private rights of action under the Medicaid Act. Resolving the question presented here would not even affect Planned Parenthood's ability to challenge the state's decisions. It concerns only the rights of individual Medicaid patients to bring their own suits. But the fear here is that they balked on it, the liberals, of course, and then Justice Roberts, who's a little bit of both, and then Kavanaugh, who I don't think is nearly the conservative that we had hoped he is. But they went with the liberals on this and said, no, thanks, we're not going to hear this case. And Thomas and Gorsuch and Alito said, this isn't about Planned Parenthood, but these guys ran away from it because Planned Parenthood's involved at a certain level. This is from the Daily Caller article. The dissent was significant because it indicates that Justice Brett Kavanaugh sided with the high court's liberal wing to deny review of a lower court decision that favored the nation's largest abortion provider. So what explains the court's refusal to do its job here? Again, I said this earlier, Thomas wrote, I suspect it has something to do with the fact that some respondents in these cases are named Planned Parenthood. Some tenuous connection to a politically fraught issue does not justify abdicating our judicial duty. That's a big point. Justice Thomas added, if anything, neutrally applying the law is all the more important when political issues are in the background. Thank you very much. That's exactly right, Justice Thomas. So my fear here is that Kavanaugh balked on this because he doesn't want to go anywhere near a highly conservative issue because it could touch Planned Parenthood, and he just doesn't want to go there. That's my fear, that's what he's doing. And his concern for his own quote-unquote political positioning, which should be dead and buried once you join the Supreme Court, allegedly, your allegiance should only be to the Constitution, which has kind of become a punchline anymore. But his concern over public backlash to him taking a strong stance on something that could affect Planned Parenthood should be irrelevant. He should just be dealing with the law here. But the fear is, and both these articles pointed out, that because it could touch Planned Parenthood, the four liberals say, oh, no, we can't touch our little God, Planned Parenthood and abortion. Can't do that. And then Roberts, who I think is middle of the road at best. And then Kavanaugh, who I do not think is the conservative we all hoped he would be, looks to be balking on this one. So, but it's early. It's the first big decision like that. So I'm gonna hope for the best and pray for these people. And that's what we're called to do. But man, this is not a good sign from Kavanaugh coming out swinging. Because when Neil Gorsuch came out swinging, baby, he was all about the Constitution and a conservative reading, i.e. Authentic originalist reading of the Constitution. Kavanaugh seems to be something other than that. Let's make sure we're praying for the guy. When we come back, Kid Rock is my new hero. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. And if you're on Facebook Live or would like to hang out here in our sunroom with all the snow-covered woods behind me, just go to Facebook and you can jump in there. We're live on Facebook Monday through Friday. Well, just about every day, but sometimes that doesn't work out. But sometimes I actually broadcast at home. So today that's what I'm doing because all the crazy weather here in Raleigh, North Carolina. So if you want to join us, where the show airs on radio live Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time. Not every market that we're on in takes the show live. Some of them are tape delayed later in the afternoon or in the evening. In Hawaii, we've been trying to figure this out. Yeah, we're live in Honolulu. Isn't that cool? Great Calvary Chapel radio station out there. Just a great group of believers. And we've been trying to work that out to be live in Honolulu. But right now they're playing. So this show will play the next day. So aloha, everybody, from Monday in Raleigh, North Carolina. But if you want to join us on Facebook and see what my view from my sunroom looks like, well, just go to Facebook. You might be there already. Steve Noble Show right in the search box. Boom. Like the page. Join me right here in the family room. Okay, so we got a bunch of different stories I want to go through here today. And this one is cool. If you didn't know this, and because Christian radio and the average age for most of us, if I say Kid Rock, do you know who I'm talking about? So Kid Rock's kind of this rapping rock and roll dude. I think he's from, I don't know if he's from Michigan, Detroit, pretty out there. But I saw this story the other day. I thought this was really cool. And then Tyler Perry had done it first. But I like this. I'm going to give him some props here And I love this. We all need to be generous like this. Now, it's easy when you're a quadzillionaire, right? When all these famous people. But we could do little things like this. Every year, I'm like, why are we spending all this money on our own family? We should just go adopt a family and give half the money we're going to spend on ourselves. We just haven't done it yet. Shame on us. But I love this. This is just inspiring. And I think we all need to be more like this. So check this out. Kid Rock is getting into the holiday spirit. Inspired by Tyler Perry's Good Deed, which I'll tell you about in a second. The 47-year-old only God knows why singer paid $81,000 to clear off the balances of 350 layaway accounts at a Walmart store in Nashville, Tennessee. On Friday, after the Nobody's Fool director dropped over $430,000, that was Tyler Perry, who's, I think he's a billionaire by now, so $430,000, awesome, but not a big deal for Tyler. $430,000 to pay off layaway items in Atlanta stores. Kid Rock took to Twitter to share that he also wanted to pay it forward and do the same. At Tyler Perry, hey, great idea. I followed your lead and paid off the layaway at my local Walmart in Nashville, the rock star tweeted. Merry Christmas and God bless you. According to the Nashville store's manager, Tom Meyer, the musician called the store on Friday morning, last Friday, explaining that he wanted to spread some holiday cheer. Rock's manager later came in and made the generous payment. Perry started the trend on Thursday last week when he shared the exciting news with the shoppers at two Walmart locations in Georgia. So Kid Rock, $81,000, boom, pays it all off, layaway. How awesome is that? And then Tyler Perry the other day, and this is what he said. I have paid for all of your layaways for Christmas. So Merry Christmas to everybody, he said in a video he posted on Twitter. You got to go into the Walmart, get your layaway, and pay a penny, one penny, and you get your layaway. I know it's hard times and a lot of people are struggling. I'm really just really grateful to be able to be in a position to do this. So God bless you. Go get your stuff. That was awesome. Now, what? Imagine if, and Tyler Perry, I have no reason to doubt his salvation. He claims Christianity. He's done a bunch of things along those lines. But in the name of Jesus, pay somebody something. I do that maybe three times a year. I think about it. You know, at a Starbucks drive-thru line. Hey, how much is the order behind me? $12.30. Okay, I'll just pay it. Really? Yeah, I'll just pay it. What do you want me to tell him? Tell him Jesus loves him. Okay, here you go. Have a nice day. See you later. Go on. You know, it doesn't have to be $430,000 because who can do that, really? But for you and I, do one little thing and then drop the J-bomb. Which is far more offensive sometimes in America than the F-bomb. So just drop the J-bomb. Or don't even do it. Just offer it up to the Lord. And just pay somebody something. But I love this. I love that they did this. And praise God for generosity. And there's another story I'm going to tell you about that. That's just an indication. Now, whether Kid Rock it doesn't appear to know the Lord. Tyler Perry does. But whether they do or not, the seed of generosity, the seed of the desire to help somebody else, to care for somebody else. You see this when we have national disasters. You see it when we have terrible school shootings. When people come together, politics falls aside, income falls aside, skin color falls aside, even worldview falls aside. And the one thing that's in every single of the 7.3 billion people on the planet that's exactly the same is the image of God. And that is the seed of generosity. So whether you see a story like this, excuse me, my voice is changing, or this other one. I shared this one on Facebook earlier. So if you want a good, solid, loving cry, go watch this video. This was out of Fox News in Las Vegas. A couple adopts dying neighbor's three kids. Then they come home to find their house completely different. So there's this lady in Vegas. She finds out. She has some test results. She's not feeling good. She finds out immediately that she's got stage 2 esophageal and stomach cancer, and it was terminal. And in 2 weeks, it went from stage 2 to stage 4. And shortly after that, this woman's name was Audrey, passed away. Now she, in this story, she knew she had to get her kids taken care of. Audrey and Tisha, her next-door neighbor, were close friends. Their daughters were. And so she asked Tisha and Kevin, her husband, if they would become her children's legal guardian. She has three kids, and the other family has five. And you know what they did? They said, yes, of course, we'll take care of your kids. Well, these people are lower middle class. And so this video, which I shared on Facebook, on my Facebook page earlier today, you go watch this. And the Fox News Channel does something locally where they kind of go do a fixer-upper kind of thing and stuff like that. So they swoop in, right? They come in, they see the family, they're telling them, we're going to help. You know, they needed to separate two of the kids' rooms. The boy was sleeping on their oldest boy, who's 18, sleeping on the couch. Their daughter in high school is sleeping on a makeshift bed next to the kitchen. I mean, it was a big mess, but these people's hearts are huge, and they're taking in their neighbor's kids because their mom just died of cancer. And so the Fox News people, the local Fox affiliate, jumps in, and they got all kinds of people in Vegas helping them out. So they take the family out of there. They send them to a hotel, so, you know, who knows, somewhere in Vegas. And then I think they sent them over there for 3 or 4 days. But then they proceed to come in, and they redo the entire house. They paint it from top to bottom. They do all of their landscaping. They change the rooms around. They pull out all the furniture. They replace all the furniture in the whole house. And they're repainting and they're fixing everything up. They're bringing in TVs and appliances and computers and all this stuff. And then when they bring them back, it's like one of those big reveal things, right? And all they can see is the outside. But as soon as they walk in, they're all freaking out. And they took their neighbor's 3 kids to care for him. And the mother, now this is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, okay? And whether she knows it or not. The mother and her husband, Kevin, who took in the neighbor's 3 kids because the neighbor's mom died. She grew up in the foster care system. And she said that kids deserve to be kids. They shouldn't have to grow up too soon, and she did in the foster care system. So they just took them in. They went from 5 kids to 8 kids, a family of 7 to a family of 10. And they don't have much money at all. So you watch this video, and you watch them come in and redo the whole thing. And then they give the boy, the 18-year-old, because he's working a lot, they give him like $1,500 to go help him find an apartment. Then they give the family a year's supply of groceries, and the family's just falling apart, right, crying all over the place. Then the guy, some stud horse from the local Nissan dealer, shows up and gives them a paid-for 12-passenger van. Boom! And I'm like, you know what? That's all happening because of the Imago Dei. Because of the image of God. And yes, free will, I'll give them credit. Absolutely praise the Lord. These people and all everybody involved were generous and took care of them. But I know where the seed came from. I know where that ultimately started. Because our Father in heaven is generous. After all, who would sacrifice their son for a bunch of scumbags like me? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, live from my sunroom today in murky, overcast, snow-covered Raleigh, North Carolina. I hope your weather is better where you're at, but it is pretty. So if you want to see the view of the backyard covered in snow, just go to Facebook. You can jump there in the search box. If you haven't liked the page already, it's just the Steve Noble Show, N-O-B-L-E, Steve Noble Show, and you can like the page. And when we go live, like we do most days, we're on the radio, but also on Facebook Live at the same time. Then you can see what I'm looking at right now, which is the beautiful woods and areas behind us, covered in snow, which is kind of cool. So if you want to do that, that's awesome. And then Merry Christmas to you, by the way. And we were just talking about these different stories, Kid Rock and Tyler Perry paying off people's layaway things, and then the story of this couple, this family out in Las Vegas that took in the 3 kids from their neighbor's house because the mom got esophageal cancer and literally within a month or two passed away. And so they took them in, and then the local community and the Fox News station there, and there's other stations that do it. I'm not making a plug for Fox, but to bring in and care for people, that generosity, man, it's just awesome. So let's make sure this month especially, let's just go out of our way. I was talking about this off the air. Should we be known for what we're against, or should we be known for what we're for? And that used to dismiss that. Just say, oh, that's just a bunch of liberal wimps saying that, or Christians that don't have the backbone to speak up for God's truth on the tough issues, and so they just say things like that. Oh, well, we should be known more for what we're for than what we're against. And while that, and largely, I don't have a problem with that anymore. They're going to know what you're against pretty quick. And when you say what you're for, that could be taken for what you're against, obviously. We should not be afraid to speak up for God's truth in the public arena. Absolutely. But we should also be known for, that's where we should be this paradoxical person for the unbeliever to know, especially if they lean left politically or socially. It's going to go, yeah, you know what? I don't agree with you on just about any of these big issues, but you're really This is right out of the book of Proverbs. But you're really a nice person. You're kind. You're self-controlled. I don't feel judged by you. I know we don't agree on much, but you're really nice and friendly. And you don't look down your nose at me. You really appear to care about me. Yet you hold all these positions that I'm diametrically opposed to, and yet I still like you. I mean, what's up with that? That's just so interesting. I mean, don't you know a lot of people had that response to Jesus himself? Boy, there's some of the stuff you're teaching on, and you've heard it said that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look after a woman and lust after her in your heart, you've already committed adultery, whether you touched her or not. People are going, oh, man, that's a little rough. That's kind of a high bar there, Lord. I mean, what's up with that? But yet they love him. The woman at the well. He totally exposes her. He sets her up. He calls her out for the, I guess, whore that she was. And yet she falls in love with him. She goes back to downtown. She says, hey, Samaritan, hey, everybody, I think I met the Messiah. Told me everything there is to know about me. You got to come meet him. He's awesome. What? See? Grace and truth, grace and truth, grace and truth. Peyton on Facebook Live just said this. I was in Food Lion at a grocery store a couple of weeks ago, and the man ahead of me in line paid for my groceries, about $10, because I had an Army veteran hat on. See? That's awesome, Peyton. Thanks for sharing that. That's a challenge. Let's all do that. I'm not going to make you say a pinky promise, but let's all do that, okay? Let's just agree right now that sometime before Christmas, we're going to pay for somebody else's something. At Chick-fil-A eating Jesus chicken, at Starbucks eating the devil's coffee, whatever. Just do it. Just pay for somebody something. And do it in the name of Jesus and love on them and just be kind and patient. Be kind and generous, I mean, and go on from there. Okay. So this was an interesting story. I don't know why this popped back up. I think it's because Nancy Pelosi is going to be the Speaker of the House starting on January 3rd, okay? So this is a story all the way back 11 years ago, March of 2007. A bishop on Nancy Pelosi, it's categorically impossible to be Catholic and hold abortion as just a choice. Amen. We need Protestants and Catholic pastors talking like this. So this is all the way back in 2007, Portland, Oregon. This is just a inspiring thing to see with the impending exaltation, if you will, of Speaker, soon-to-be Speaker Pelosi. It is categorically impossible, this bishop says, for the same person to state that he or she believes simultaneously both what the Catholic Church teaches and that abortion is just a choice, says Bishop Robert Vassa in a column released today in the Catholic Sentinel. Although Vassa, the Bishop of Baker, did not mention her by name, he was referring to his column to the Democrat Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, specifically, and to all the politicians of a similar ilk in general. Some months ago, a prominent Catholic public person, says Vassa, this is the bishop, he's referring to Pelosi, described as faithful to the church, was asked if being pro-choice or pro-abortion was an issue which conflicted with the Catholic faith. He goes on to quote verbatim what Nancy Pelosi stated in a highly publicized interview with Newsweek in October last year. To me, it isn't even a question. God has given us a free will. We're all responsible for our actions. If you don't want an abortion, you don't believe in it, then don't have one. But don't tell somebody else what they can do in terms of honoring their responsibilities. That's so much political hogwash and back talk. Oh, my goodness. But he goes on to how he's talking about Pelosi's daughter and stuff. It seems to me, this is the bishop, that there are just choices and there are unjust choices. Choices would be the preference for chocolate ice cream over vanilla ice cream or sherbet instead of ice cream. That's just a choice. A just choice would be to choose to pay a fair and living wage to employees as opposed to simply meeting the mandatory standard of minimum wage laws, he said. An unjust choice would be to choose to terminate the life of another human being. This is not just a choice, and it is not a just choice. It's an unjust choice. Furthermore, it is unjust choice, which is diametrically opposed to the clear and consistent teaching of the Catholic Church, as well as to the clear and consistent teaching of God himself in the Ten Commandments. The direct, intentional taking of the life of an innocent human being is inhumane and unjust. It's not just a choice, wrote the bishop. Praise the Lord for the bishop's courage and fidelity to the Scripture's clear teaching on the issue of life. Isn't that nice? Wouldn't it be nice? I mean, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, who I I think actually might run at Trump in 2020, and claiming to be these strong Catholics, good Catholic people. Excuse me, let me set the record straight in no uncertain terms, no political back talk, no double talk, okay? You can't be a solid biblical evangelical Christian or a solid Catholic and be pro-abortion at the same time. If you are pro-abortion, you have a massive hole in your theology that you have chosen, not out of ignorance, it's willful disobedience to the will of God, to embrace, support, look past, nod your head at abortion, at Planned Parenthood. You can't do it. It's oil and water. You can't do it. So for those of you, and this is why I say this, and it's not popular, and I always get some backlash. I'm like, if you love Jesus and you have fidelity to his word, yet you vote for any candidate who's pro-abortion, or let me broaden it, you vote for any member of a party that's as pro-abortion enthusiastically as the Democrat Party, I don't know how you do that. Now, again, I would never sit here and tell you, as a registered independent now, that the Republican Party is the party of God. I'm not taking that position. God doesn't have a party. He's an ultimate king and authority and the creator of all things. So you can't apply party politics to the God of the universe, all right? But you look at the Republican Party, their orthodoxy doesn't have a problem. Orthodoxy is the stated beliefs, okay? That's the party platform. On the Democrat Party side, it does, because they enthusiastically endorse, support, and fund abortion, let alone the gender agenda, the radical homosexual agenda, that kind of stuff. On the Republican side, they have orthopraxy problems, what you do in practice. They don't have orthodoxy problems. The Democrat side, if some Democrat says, well, I'm a pro-lifer, I'm a pro-life Democrat, I'm like, yeah, but you're still flying underneath a flag soaked in the blood of the unborn. You're still underneath a flag that is soaked in the blood of the unborn. And you know it. So how can you choose ignorance to that? I don't think you can. All right, so here's another thing for us Christians, if you're a follower of Christ. Get used to this. And I saw the story the other day, and one of my board members sent it to me in an email earlier today. School board fires Christian teacher by a 5-0 vote for beating his children. Nope. Abusing his kids in class. Nope. Having an affair with a 16-year-old student. Nope. He got fired for refusing to use the kid's preferred pronoun. Welcome to America 2018. A widely respected teacher in Virginia is out of a job, and his family now has no income after he committed the gravest of politically incorrect sins. He used the word she to refer to a girl. On Thursday, Peter Vlaming was released from his teaching position at West Point High School, and all five board members voted that his objection to using male pronouns for a female student was a fireable offense. So, my Christian brother, my Christian sister, what price are you willing to pay for your allegiance to the truth? I hope we'll be like Peter and John. And they said, hey, you guys, Sanhedrin, Pharisees, you do what you got to do. We're going to preach the name of Jesus, and we'll go down. So what are we waiting for? A message in the sky. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. The Steve Noble Show, stevenobleshow.com. You can go there, and if you want to grab the podcast, because all the podcasts are there. Every show we've done for years is up on the podcast. iTunes and a bunch of other podcast platforms, you can get that. So if you missed the show, want to go back and look at other things, you can search the website. So you can search for certain topics if you want. That's all at stevenobleshow.com. Or you can join us on Facebook. The Steve Noble Show Facebook page is there. We're live right now in my sunroom where it's getting darker and colder outside by the minute. Still nice and toasty warm in here. We lost power for about 20 seconds a couple times yesterday, which was fine. Praise the Lord, we're doing just fine. So interesting weather situation out here down in the south. When you get snow and rain and ice and stuff, everything shuts down. So I was able to get up to the studio today and grab the stuff and get it back down here so that I could do the show from the safe confines of our home. And that's where we're at. I was talking about this this story about the teacher that was fired. He happened to be a Christian. 5-0 vote by the school board because he refused to use the kid's preferred pronoun. So this is a little girl that thinks she's a little boy. And, you know, now you have to follow along with that or you get fired. You lose your job. So I want to finish that. Steve Dace, who's an excellent he's a brother in Christ. He's on CRTV, The Blaze now, and he's been doing radio and stuff for years. One of the greatest minds in terms of politics and campaigns. But he wrote an article coming out of the Bush 41 funeral last week, the first one in D.C., called "Even at a Funeral, We Couldn't Shelve Our Asinine Hatred." That's a great message there that I think we all need to hear. Then I want to finish. If you are a parent or parents that are having some challenges with your kids, foolish decisions, outright rebellion, my wife and I have been down that road to a certain extent, and I think a lot of parents have. But today's devotional, which was out of the book of Proverbs, that was actually number 99 that I've written so far in the book of Proverbs. And we're just in Proverbs chapter 17, it's verse 21. "It is painful to be the parent of a fool. There is no joy for the father of a rebel." So I write these. These come out Monday through Friday if you want to get in on that. And these are quick, pithy daily devotionals that I write myself. And sometimes I draw from some other ones and quote some other great theologians and teachers. But oftentimes it's just me. And if you want to get that, you want to get on that list, that comes out Monday through Friday. Just text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, to 66866. It'll be really quick. You put your email in, you'll get a reply text. Boom, your email. Boom, you'll be on the list. You'll get it tomorrow morning. So the Daily Dose devotional, I'll share that one at the end of the show about parenting, which is oftentimes very, very challenging. So text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, to 66866. Okay, let's finish up these two. So Peter Vlaming was the name of the teacher that was fired, West Point High School up in Virginia. A girl at the school decided that she is transgender and insisted that everyone call her by a new name. Vlaming had no problem with this, but drew the line at saying him or his to refer to a student who is biologically female. The teacher and students who know him explained that this wasn't about purposely insulting the transgender person, but rather about being honest and true to his personal beliefs. Quote, "My religious faith dictates that I am to love and respect everyone, whether I agree with them or not, because we're all made in God's image," he said in an opening statement at the school board meeting. "I am also aware of and agree with speech limits that are placed on public school teachers concerning matters of religious faith. However, we are here today because a specific worldview is being imposed upon me." This is compelled speech, okay? Compelled speech, that's the problem. "By all accounts, the teacher tried to accommodate the trans student in many ways, but does not believe his faith or personal code permits him to pretend that a girl is now a boy." Want to know why? Because a girl isn't a boy. "I won't use male pronouns with a female student," he said, "that now identifies as a male, though I did agree to use the new masculine name but avoid female pronouns," Vlaming said, according to an online petition that circulated to protect his job. Over 2,500 people sided with him. "Administration is requiring that I use masculine pronouns in any and every context at school. I was informed that any further instances of using female pronouns would be ground for termination," because he was referring to her as a her. "For their part, the school is claiming that it's an issue of tolerance." Yet they seem to be demonstrating intolerance themselves. No kidding. "We do not and cannot tolerate discrimination in any form, except you stinking Christians, or actions that create a hostile environment for any member of our school family, unless you're a Christian teacher." I added that, declared the school board. It apparently didn't dawn on them that firing a member of their school family for his personal views was fairly hostile. Good point. "What could be worse for your family than being fired from your job for not lying and violating conscience?" wondered Robert Gagnon, a Harvard-educated theology expert who was following the controversy. A large number of students and parents apparently agree. The public hearing was held in the chorus room, only allowing 38 members of the public to sit in on the meeting. There were well over 100 people who tried to attend the meeting in the middle of a Thursday afternoon. Here's the bottom line from this article. Schools are supposed to be places where facts, reality, and critical thinking are held up as high standards. Since when? Young and often rebellious students should have a voice, but they are not the ones who run our schools. No. If an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old says, "Darn it, I'm a boy," when they have an innie, and biology and God says they're a girl, and you don't comply, you're a hater, and you're out. So my question for you, my Christian friend, is, are you willing to pay a price for your allegiance to God's truth? You better struggle with that, because sooner or later, it's coming your way. From Steve Dace, "Even at a funeral, we couldn't shelve our asinine hatred." He makes some great points here. "The jerk store called again and again and again. We clearly learned nothing from turning Sully the service dog into a thing after George H.W. Bush died. Dipping our toe into the waters of asinine impropriety, we decided, what better place is there than a funeral to mark our territory and troll the terrible other? So it is with disgust that I watched many become obsessed with the president's row at the National Cathedral before George W. Bush gave his wonderful tribute to his departed father. Who shunned who? What awful side glances were glanced? Who recited the creed with appropriate vigor? Why didn't everyone get a piece of candy? How dumb, Steve Dace writes. Just as dumb as Facebook censoring an image of Santa kneeling before baby Jesus because it was violent content. Just as dumb as the progressive who removed arguably the most famous woman in world history from a nativity scene so there could be two Josephs. Just as dumb as putting another nativity's baby Jesus in a cage to protest immigration policy. Instead of reverence in these situations, we get propaganda. Much of Bush 41's funeral analysis was no different. If we prove incapable of leaving such hallowed ground alone because our appetite for cynicism is simply unquenchable, we are no better than those we claim to oppose. Yes, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have said and done many things in their lives, but neither one of them did anything wrong in the video of Trump being seated that is now being combed over with the same zeal people bring to the Zapruder. Zapruder was the JFK video, right? Of the assassination. They all did their duty by showing up, Steve Dace writes, to an event that would be undeniably awkward for any one of us. They kept their mouths shut, and they didn't make a moment that had nothing to do with their passions or politics about them. Not good enough, said the mob. Shame on all of you. Do we really want and need Trump and Hillary to be that bad so that we can get out of bed in the morning and fight the next windmill? Our charge is to be offering up our prayers for them, not planting evidence to assist in their destruction. But as I have long said, too many of us are far more interested in tuning in like clapping seals to the show that is modern political and media theater than in genuinely pursuing and contending for the good, the true, and the beautiful. Well said, Steve Dace. Bush 41's funeral trolling is Exhibit A on steroids, confirming that. The idol worship, I call this political idolatry, is out of control. It is hollowing us out and spitting us into oblivion. If we are unable as a people to identify with anything other than political straw men and red herrings, even when a casket sits before us, we have little to place our hope in. If only we defended our Constitution as zealously as we pursue hipster affirmation on Twitter. For those of you still not getting it, this was a funeral, not an occasion for hot takes, snark, or general jackassery. A man died. He happened to be a Republican. But nothing I've said will lose even a fraction of relevance when one of the Democrats the other hates dies in the future. I'm not saying anybody has to pretend to like or admire someone they don't. I am saying maybe more of us could pretend to be adults. They and their families will deserve your respect at that time instead of being a platform for juvenile levels of deception, if for no other reason than we honor and respect the God who made them, or at the very least, the golden rule. Merry Christmas, you filthy animals, writes Steve Dace. So yeah, I mean, really? We take all of that stuff? Everything going on with the Bush funeral and George W. Bush 43 eulogizing his dad, and they turn it all into Trump and Hillary and all that mess. It seems that our appetite, like Steve Dace was talking about, for political theater is unquenchable, which is idolatry. And I sit there and look, and we're paying attention to everybody reacts. We're paying attention to these former presidents and all of that, as opposed to the eulogies and the comments about a really good and decent man, whether you like his politics or not. Okay, one for the parents. I wrote this one today. Proverbs 17:21. If you want to get these daily devotionals, just text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, to 66866. Proverbs 17:21. It's painful to be the parent of a fool. There is no joy for the father of a rebel. Parenting is hard. I wrote this morning, actually. When kids are young, it is the relatively easy stuff, chasing them around, fending off the early manifestations of their sin, keeping them out of trouble. As they grow older, the challenges increase, as do the consequences for poor choices. The teen years tend to bring the most tension, as our kids want total freedom while we still want close to total control. All of this is multiplied, of course, if your child, teenager, or young adult is making really foolish choices and living in rebellion. My wife and I have had plenty of experience with this, but certainly know some parents who have had much worse. And it seems, through our jealous eyes, that most of the other ones have had it much easier. When your child's making foolish choices and won't receive any wisdom from you or anyone else, it grieves the heart in a way that you simply can't understand unless you have been there yourself. When a child is in rebellion against parents or God or both, joy is elusive and fear grips the heart, but hope is never extinguished. So I finished with three truths that I just wanted to encourage you with. God's the perfect parent, yet both of his children chose foolishly and rebelled, and they did it in paradise. Our children have minds and wills of their own, so please remember, really good parents can have children that make really bad choices. Their sin isn't any more on you and any more on than Adam and Eve's was on God. You aren't powerful enough, number two, to ruin your child's life. Only God has that kind of power. Do you think your mistakes as a parent can't be overcome by the blood of the Lamb? And number three, never give up. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on God. You got to remember that God is in control. You aren't. He loves your children. You can trust him. Stay in prayer. Don't give up. I love you guys. Have a great evening. God willing. I'll talk to you again real soon.